The following is an official announcement from the Australian government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of ruined dits for breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella. They're closer than you think.
Oh, how are you this morning, Roo, on this Thursday morning?
Good day again, Dits. Flying through the week, Thursday's around, a couple days to go to the weekend.
Being a Thursday, it means the Angels are coming in later on this morning. Got plenty of controversial things to ask them.
There are in the world at the moment, aren't there? We'll have a chat to them. We are having a Suburban Song.
They're
again
back
today.
They're back with Gleeso.
I haven't seen Gleeso for a while. Looking forward to Dave to come down the from the hill.
Yeah, now
does he live Northern Summit up that way?
Yeah, up that way. Yeah, Scenic Hotel. That's his haunt, his hangout. Yeah. Hey, I think he's heading to the northern suburbs today, which he has kind of bashed a little bit in previous songs.
If you live in the north, you're used to it.
Oh, right.
You don't.
You just deserve it, do you?
No, you don't deserve it, and you don't. It might not be warranted, but that's just what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose
it is.
Yeah.
So you bash in the eastern suburbs. And the east bash in the west.
Yep.
Sort of just goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right. I don't mind bashing the east in the mornings because they're all listening to the ABC.
That's right.
They're not listening to us.
Well, they're in bed sleeping.
Yeah.
In their comfy beds.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, in a moment, what's making news right around the world? Gee, Donald Trump's done it again. I'll tell you what he said in just a moment. It's unbelievable. Ruined it's here on Triple M. 23 today, so a little bit cooler, but it's already in the 20s out there. It's a bit steamy this morning, and we are expecting the odd morning shower. Ruined it's thanks to Southern Volkswagen.
Ruined it's for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:09 on this Thursday morning. What is making news around the place, Roo?
This is funny about this mining boom that we had for ages, and then it went away, and we sort of never really got onto it too much in South Australia. But it's kicked up again in the state. We've got a few big jobs happening, which is awesome. We dropped a while ago about Roxby Downs, how it was going to employ another 1,000 people. Well, that's well and truly underway, and a lot of money getting spent up there. Then we talked about a mine near Port Augusta called Carrapateena. Well, that's well and truly underway as well. They already got 60 or 80 people out there, and that's going to grow to 500 to 1,000. And that's not far away from Adelaide, that one, which is great news. But in today's paper, they're talking about getting a mine at Cairn Hill, which is near Cooper Pedy, back up and going again, an iron ore mine that's had, I think, $800 million in funding guaranteed, and it could be up to 1,300 jobs. Now, those jobs are pretty high-paying jobs.
Yeah.
That's a lot of jobs and a lot of money and a lot of royalties to the government. So it's good news and great for the state.
If you
look at it like that, if you're not against mining, it's fantastic in terms of, it might mean that people do have to leave Adelaide and travel and do fly-in, fly-out work or whatever.
But they'll be well compensated.
But they've got a job.
Yeah.
And they got money coming in.
Yep.
So that means they can buy houses, pay for food, and pay the bloody power and water bills that we have to pay for these days. So
no, I'm with you, Roo.
Interesting
this is
stuff.
All very positive. You know, we've got CavPower advertising with us at the moment saying that they need diesel mechanics and other jobs as well. So I met with them earlier this week. They were just talking up the whole state saying, like, they're asking for 40 people at the moment. They said it'll turn into hundreds.
That's right.
They are running, because CavPower, lease out all of their big, heavy vehicle type machinery to these mining companies, and they are run off their feet. It's great news.
And a little example, I've got a family member in Port Augusta, finished the school last year, can go and get a job at one of those places and get, north of 60 grand a year.
Wow.
For the first job.
Good.
And not qualified for anything.
So
it's massive money for a kid. I mean, some people never earn that in their whole life.
No, I know.
And he's getting it as his first job, but he's got to, do some hard yards in the dirt and live underground like a whatever lives underground. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, moving on now. Donald Trump is in the news daily. He's done it again. Well, he's now denying it, but he's done it again. Allegedly, he's come out at now a return. Well, it's not a return service. No, I should get this right. Yeah, a soldier has come back from duty in a coffin. He's died representing the United States, you know, fighting for his country. And Trump has said to the family.
Reportedly.
Well, he knew what he was signing up for.
He couldn't say that, seriously, could you?
Well, let's have a listen to Donald Trump.
Didn't say what that congresswoman said. Didn't say it at all. She knows it. And she now is not saying it. I did not say what she said. I'd like her to make the statement again because I did not say what she said. I had a very nice conversation with the woman, with the wife, who is sounded like a lovely woman. Did not say what the congresswoman said. And most people aren't too surprised to hear that.
There you go. Some people he said, were. She said. Yeah.
You'd have to be a lunatic to say something as bad as that.
Other things making news. Billy Joel to be a father again at 68 years of age. You're going to ask the Angels later on this morning if this is all right. Can you be a dad at 68?
You can't, can you?
Eh?
Seriously.
Nah.
That's a bit long in the tooth.
That's far too late.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
I would think so. And just quickly, obviously Bryce Gibbs in the news yesterday, Roo. So what time today does trade?
They can sign paperwork from 9.
I think it finishes sort of mid-afternoon, 2 o'clock. Yeah. So you've got a few hours to get that deal done.
Yeah, I would expect something to happen relatively early, I would have thought.
All right, so that's good news. Hey, this has only just come here in front of me, Roo, but the Harvey Weinstein story, and we'll expand on this later on this morning, they're all saying that there's an even more evil story that hasn't been exposed in Hollywood, and they're talking about...
What to do with him?
No. They're saying that the worst thing happening in Hollywood today, I've only just read this report, pedophilia is rife and has been for years, where on movie sets, young boys are coerced into sex, and they're talking about even trying to get them to have cocaine with older actors and all sorts of things. This story, I think, will come out and it will be absolutely massive. So they're talking about child actors being coerced and led to believe that it's okay and it's normal. This is what happens in the movie world. I'm serious. And the other one is that Tracy Spicer, former Channel 10 newsreader, says that she is going to expose people here in Australia as well.
For what?
Sexual harassment within the media here in Australia. So,
Bloody hell. What's going on out in this world at the moment?
I know. So a couple of big stories to break that aren't necessarily that nice.
No.
Ruined It's for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:43, Ruined It's here on Triple M. It'll be 23 today and a chance of a shower this morning. And it's already pretty warm, just
it
about
is.
23 already.
A few spots around.
Yeah. Now, Roo, I want to ask you about Prince Harry. Now, I just want to preface this by saying that I actually got in first. I liked Meghan Markle long before he did.
Right.
Because I've been watching her on Suits for the last few years.
Suits. Where's that show?
It's on Netflix or one of those things. I'm not sure where we see it, but Kate and I sit down often and watch it.
You don't watch normal TV.
It's stuffed. Anyway, Suits is about a law firm in New York, and it's a great show. Anyway, she's been one of the stars on that
for a long
time.
And you watch it because you're interested in law, obviously.
Correct.
Never
stop learning. Yeah. Anyway, the interesting thing is that she's decided to leave Suits, so she's bailing out, which suggests that she's shifting to London to become a princess.
Yeah, well,
which
that's not a tough decision, I wouldn't have thought.
Oh, do you reckon?
Giving a career away is not an easy decision. I'm not making light of that, but if you're going to become a princess...
You don't reckon she's allowed to do both? The most famous one,
I don't know the actual job description of a princess, but I would have thought it's fairly black and white.
I can tell. I've married one. I can explain it to you. No, I didn't say that. Sorry, that just slipped out. So she's giving away her career, and obviously she's very keen on her career, but... if you want to be a princess, you've got to make sacrifices.
Sometimes you do have to make sacrifices for your partners.
There was a famous one years ago. Grace Kelly became Princess Grace of Monaco. She married Prince Rainier. You don't remember Grace Kelly, do you?
I think I do, but I don't want to.
Beautiful actress. But, yeah, she gave away a magnificent
career. And how's she happy about that now, do you think?
She's not now because she's dead.
Oh.
She died in a car crash, Roo. But that's all right. You're not to know that.
How am I meant to know that?
No, exactly. I know.
That's why I But she had to keep my mouth shut.
But she had a great life as Princess Grace of Monaco and one of the most famous ladies in the world. So she was almost the precursor to Lady Di, really. She was adored by the world, Princess Grace. So Meghan Markle, anyway, where I'm going with this, Rue, is sacrifices.
Precursor to Lady Di, yeah.
Sacrifices that you make to marry. Have you ever had to give up anything? What did you give up to marry?
I've given up going to the pub every Saturday afternoon since I've been married. I used to do that every week.
How have you handled that?
Well, it's pretty tough at the Spring Carnival time. I think I might fall off the wagon maybe this week and next week a little bit.
Talk about sacrifices, yeah.
No, what have you sacrificed doing?
Having fun. No, I didn't say that either, Kate. I'm just joking. I'm joking this morning, all right?
Yeah. Sacrificed anything else?
Going out with other women, I suppose. I wouldn't be able to do that.
That's when you're 18. When you're 18.
Yeah, but it actually, and in fact, I want to ask Mel the button pusher this. It's something that I think it affects women far more than it affects blokes. And I'll tell you why. My wife has been working with 5 young girls in an office for the last 5 years or so, and they've all just finished what they were doing. It was they were studying. And it's interesting, these girls are all going to go off now and find jobs around the world, and yet I reckon they sacrifice that more than what blokes do. Like, and we're talking to my question to you is, I was talking to one young girl in particular, and she's at the age of, say, 24, 25, is looking for jobs in the United States. And I said to Kate, well, we'll never see her again, because at that age, she'll marry an American guy, she'll stay there. And girls seem to do that, I think, a lot more easily than what.
But why do they have to go to America to get a job?
To find work in their industry.
Gee.
But you know what I mean? Don't you think, Mel, that women sort of pack up and go more readily than men, or not? Or is that a bit a
in the
broad
past,
statement?
Definitely.
I'm not sure. Do you mean they sort of stay where their partner wants to be?
If the bloke's the breadwinner.
Yeah, it kind of depends. And I think sometimes the bloke gets to be the breadwinner because he just takes preference.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Actually,
it is changing a bit more though.
Yeah,
there's more female breadwinners. Lisa Wilkinson, for as an example, she'd be the major winner there now, wouldn't she?
Yeah,
not that they're. I mean,
they're both
different category.
Doing all right, aren't they?
Probably adult kids, I presume.
Yeah, no, but I do. I think just from a straw poll of people I know, that the woman tends to have to pack up and go because hubby or boyfriend got a good job somewhere or it happens in the world of football, Roo.
Absolutely.
Players
does.
Right now are changing
sure
clubs.
Does.
Yep, okay, we'll just pack up and go then.
Yep, off we go. Another job.
Yeah.
Yep.
What have you sacrificed? 133353. I'm interested
Stewie
to know.
Stewie Jew, for instance, this is an example.
This is a good example.
Right, so he's been in Sydney. His wife's had a better job than him for
Sarah Cumming
quite a long time with Channel 7. He's now the head coach of Gold Coast. Would have got a significant pay rise to be the head coach. Does she stay in Sydney or does she go pack up? They've got 2 kids. Is she now mum or does she work on Channel 7 in Queensland?
Well, she's hosting the morning show at the moment and does some news reading in Sydney. So she's doing very, very well. Yeah, that's a good question. Rory Sloan and Belinda, who's now got a job in Melbourne, Roo.
No, part-time.
Oh, she's doing very well on TV in Melbourne.
Is she?
Yes. Will Rory pack up?
Oh, come on.
Will Rory pack up and go to Melbourne?
Don't start that garbage. We've just
what are you talking about?
What?
It's not garbage.
It is garbage. You're saying he's going.
I said it's a possibility that they're going to have to make a decision because Belinda will come home one day and say, I'm getting all this TV work now in Melbourne. I might need to live in Melbourne.
Can you give us 5 minutes grace, please? Bloody hell.
It's an interesting conundrum.
Yeah, no, it is. I do understand what you're saying. It's,
Righto.
But I hope it's not bloody true, please.
133353. Tell us about your sacrifice. Yeah, what have you had to do?
Oh, we want serious ones here or fun?
Yeah, anything you've sacrificed.
You know, like you having no fun. Do we want that sort of stuff or do we want the Stewie Jew situation?
What have you given up? And has it been a career-changing type decision? It's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
133353, give us a ring.
G'day, Billy.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, and yourself?
Very well.
Now, Billy, can I just say, I like the name Billy for a female. Is that, your full name or is it a...
It is my full name. I get that quite a lot, actually. And my husband's name's Will, so we get Will and Bill.
Will and Bill.
Good on you. All right, what can you tell us?
Well, when I met my husband 8 years ago, he was in the Navy, so I've followed him a fair bit. We've moved 3 different times to 3 different states, and quite often it will be a state where I don't know anyone or have any family or anything, and then he packs up and goes to sea. So it's quite hard when you're in a new state. And at one point in particular, we had a fresh baby. So I had to make a lot of friends and make a lot of connections and did it all by myself quite a lot of the time.
That would be hard. Yeah.
Hell, that's hard.
Well, yeah. For the so where's home for you, Billy? Where are you from?
Well, I'm actually from Adelaide. So he when my husband decided to leave the military after 10 years, he said to me, it's right, it's your turn now. So he's actually making
Well done. How good's that?
Oh, I can follow my career. So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Good on you, Billy.
So he's kind of, well, it's not really a sacrifice, but he's given up something, I suppose, hasn't he?
Oh, well, he's moved to my hometown, I suppose. And he's also, I'm now doing shift work so and following the career I wanted for ages. So he is making sacrifices to help at home and as well. So
well done.
I've done my time, now he's doing his, so we appreciate each other for that.
Great stuff. Well done. Good on you, Billy. I'll tell you what, stay
on the line.
We'll send you off to the four-wheel drive and adventure show, all right?
This weekend.
And a $100 ARB 4x4 voucher as well. Now, it is on this weekend at Wavell, all right?
That's $100 voucher as well.
Yeah.
Gee, that's good.
That's a good story from Billy.
Yeah, good. I'm rocking the suburbs. Triple M Suburban Songs.
Friday night, I'm highly off my mind. With Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets.
Hey, Roo, the Triple M Club, they've spoken up and they've told us they want Gleeso Suburban Songs back.
Yeah, well, quite rightly so. Everyone wants him back and we've got him now. Good morning, Gleeso.
Oh, the court of popular opinion wants the Suburban Song back where it belongs.
How are you, Gleeso?
Yeah,
I'm good, mate.
Yeah. We've had a great time coming in here for the last couple of weeks.
Yep. Doing A-grade role for us as well, so well done. Good stuff.
No worries.
All right, now we're going to kick off today with our first. Where are we heading to today?
We're going to Davern Park.
Nice.
And I know I've told you this before, but I've learnt so much about Adelaide and its outlying suburbs from doing these songs.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic. And obviously we've got people to make suggestions. The first suggestion came from Jim, and he said about the extremely high proportion of people on the dole.
Right, good start.
They're looking, though.
Absolutely. And Gordy told us that everyone out there drives old Holden Utes.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nah,
it's Holden Week this
that's
week.
A big tick.
And this is something I don't mind at all. The local hobby is to head down to the dogs at Engle Park.
Oh, yeah. The old bone berries. Yes. The dish lickers.
The dish lickers.
The plate lickers.
Get down there. I've got to win on something at some time. So.
I just back number 1 and 8 all the time. It's amazing how often they win.
6 for me.
Now, Davern Park, what tune are we singing to?
Well, the Davern Park Man. We're going to do it to the Working Class Man, the Barnsley Classic.
Perfect.
It's going to give me voice a bit of a stretch out, I'll tell you that.
All right, here we go with the Davern Park Man.
Hit me with a song. That's great. Oh, that sounds great. The level's perfect. Thanks very much.
Can't see what hit me.
Not working hard to make a living. Got 10 kids, I'm on the dole. Been at the dogs, now it's to the tab. Shaw beats being on parole. Whoa, I'm a Davern Park man.
Yeah!
finish.
Well done.
How is the vocals on Barnsley, mate? Brilliant. He's a freak, and he still does those songs. I couldn't do it for love or money.
Well, I think Davern Park will be happy with that. I think they'll take that. Sure.
You can see the video now, Triple M Facebook page, and go to triplem.com.au, and you can see all of the old songs there as well, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't go to Davern Park for a feed anytime soon, but I think that come up all right.
But if you sign up for the Triple M Club, you can actually get to hear all of these songs before anyone else. There you go.
Really?
A disclaimer. I didn't write it.
You can't handle.
Now we're doing this weekly for a while, or what?
Every Thursday morning at this time.
What night? Eight ball.
Wednesday night.
Oh, no.
What the hell are you doing to yourself? At least you'll be able to sympathise with Ditz when he comes in anyway, most of the time.
Oh, you've never been out, have you?
Bite that hook, Ditz. Let's go fishing.
Good on you, Gleeson. We'll see you next Thursday.
Cheers, boys.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:22, time to talk about trade news, Roo.
Yes.
You're giving me fresh air at the moment.
Oh, I'll give you a little bit.
So I'm going to go to Jay Clark, our expert from Triple M and from the Herald Sun.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Good morning, Hello, Jay.
Fellas.
How are you
going? Yes, how's it going? It's like Christmas today, isn't it? Deadline day of the AFL trade period for us. We love today.
As I said, I need to ring you, Jay, because the bloke sitting next to me gives me fresh
air. I've given you a bit.
Will Bryce Gibbs, we've been asking this question for 2 years. Will he end up at the Crows?
I think he will. I'd love your off-the-record take on the situation yesterday, Roo, that's for sure. As we understand it, both Adelaide and Carlton got together to sign off on the Bryce Gibbs deal, all getting their pens out, standing around a fax machine, etc. And then Justin Reeves found a little crinkle in the deal. You know, what are you talking about? Our second-round pick's in here as well. Mm. You know, we didn't know there was meant to be a second-round pick in there, so it all broke down there. And as Justin Reed left AFL House yesterday, you could dead set see the steam coming out of his ears. But surely, fellas, it gets done today.
There'll be a bit of truth that'll come out about it all, I think, in time about exactly what happened, Joe. But you're not too far off the mark, and hopefully something will come out in a little while. It'll hopefully see Bryce in Adelaide, which would be a good result for him.
What about Charlie Cameron?
Well, that is less clear for me. That to me, if a player here is going to be held against their will, as it stands at the moment, it might be Charlie Cameron. Now, the Bryce Gibbs deal might be able to pave way for things. If Adelaide get Gibbs, then maybe they'll let go Charlie Cameron. But people around Charlie last night were quite nervous for him that he wouldn't be able to make the move. I'd be very interested to see what happens on that one.
What about Gary Ablett? Is this actually happening or not? I suppose everyone was saying it was a done deal a month ago, and we're on the last day. What are they squabbling over?
Yeah, it's going to be a pick shuffle now. So obviously the Suns wanted a player that yesterday. They hoped it would be Darcy Lang. He's going to Carlton. So now it's going to be a pick shuffle. Now, Geelong do not want to give either 19 or 22. Their view is that it should be 35.
Jeez, they should be wrapped. They got 19.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point too. But the Suns, there might be a pick shuffle there in terms of the Cats giving 22 for the Suns 37 or something like that. But the Suns have agreed that Gary Ablett will be released from his Gold Coast contract. So he will become a Cat.
What about yesterday for Port fans? Logan Austin, who's got a fair bit of ability, I think, and Ditz agrees with me, and I think most people at Port Adelaide. I don't know if they were blindsided by this or it just hasn't got to the media, but St Kilda made a very late play for one of their young guns.
Yeah, it came from left field. We didn't see this coming at all, Roo. We knew they sort of wanted a key defender, but we thought that might be Michael Talley or one of the Victorian boys. But, yeah, Logan Austin. So that's something clearly that'll be happening today, we think, and will be St Kilda's only really move of the AFL trade period. They've been trying hard to swap their pick 7 and 8 for pick 2. From Gold Coast, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen. But, yeah, some defensive reinforcement I think will be handy for the Saints if they can get that done.
And the Stringer deal will get done, will it, or not?
Oh, jeez, I tell you what, people around this deal last night, people were starting to scream last night about this deal, Rashid. So Jake Stringer is a pretty nervous man as well. As we understand it, the pick swap between the Western Bulldogs and West Coast has fallen over. So the Western Bulldogs are again discussing last night whether they would be prepared to keep Jake Stringer against his will at the club next season, you think, which would be pretty poisonous, sort of toxic situation. So Essendon standing on its heels, they're saying it's 25 and 30 or nothing, and the Dogs still don't like the sound of that. So that's just going to be huge interest for us.
Big five hours.
He might be forced to stay at the kennel extraordinarily.
Yeah. Is Lobie going to Carlton?
Oh, if that gets done, it'll be a really late one. They're one of the few clubs that are showing interest. I don't think Brisbane and Gold Coast are that interested in the end, but I think Carlton's got a bigger fish on its plate in the earlier part of this morning.
Okay. Gibbs. Righto. Jay, thanks for joining us, mate. Plenty of info there. Well done.
All good. Good luck, Ruth.
Go back to bed.
Jay Clark. Yeah, we woke him up. Jay Clark from the Herald Sun and from Triple M as well.
Tickets on sale now for Hotter Than Hell festivals. More info at hotterthanhelltour.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point!
Ruin Dids, $1,000 pressure test.
Oh, Ruin, we haven't given away the $1,000 for a while.
No.
We must be due.
All right, let's go to Newport. G'day, Steve.
How are you?
Where are you from, buddy? Where's Newport?
Newport. Where's... in between Semaphore and Port Adelaide.
It's the new part of Port Adelaide down there on the wharves.
Oh, yes. Righto. Yep, okay.
Righto. Now, big question, Steve. What are you doing today?
Delivering salads around Adelaide.
Salads?
Salads?
Yeah.
Oh.
Tell me more.
Fresh salads, mainly around to Foodlands.
Okay. And who do you work for?
Crudo.
Crudo
Nation.
Right.
Crudo salads, yeah.
Okay.
Mainly stocked in Foodland.
Well done.
Okay. Well, we love Foodland, so yeah. Good stuff. All right, Steve, you ready to win $1,000? You need 10 correct answers in 30 seconds to do that.
Yep.
All right. Give me 10 bird varieties that you would find in a cage at your home.
Oh, bird varieties.
Budgie.
Budgie, cookie, galah, sparrow. Crow.
No.
Magpie. No.
Lovebird.
Lovebird.
McCaw.
Quail.
Quail. Yeah, we'll give you that.
Chickens. Hens.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, time's up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Correct.
Oh, not a bad effort, Steve. Stay on the line. We're going to send you off to the Hotter Than Hell Festival. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, head to hotterthanhelltour.com.au. Grinspoon, one of the main acts there.
That'll be big.
Hey, in a moment, this story about Lisa Wilkinson will not go away. Now they're saying that Carrie Bickmore's come out swinging, well, behind closed doors, actually, very upset that someone's come in and getting about five times what she's earning. they're not all that...
Well, that's what we said would happen, the old Kurt Tippett scenario in Sydney.
They're not happy campers, apparently.
Well, you wouldn't be.
No.
She's a Gold Logie winner. She's created and been on that show all the time.
Yep. All right. We'll find out more in just a moment. It's Ruined It's here, thanks to Southern Volkswagen at Ranella.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. The Howie Games is all about positivity. The episodes aim to inspire, to motivate, to get you up and get you out there. And no man does this better than West Indian cricketer Darren Sammy.
My mom always ensured that she made us understand that, you know, be content but with what you have, but that doesn't mean that you cannot aim to be better, because you could always be better in life, but don't be greedy, don't be content. So yes, I didn't have the best shoes, but you know, every day we found something to eat. There was something on the table, whether it be the dry bread with water or you flour and milk. We found something to eat. We survived.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:20. Hey, Roo, the other story that sort of hasn't broken.
Can
just
you have a cheery one?
Yeah,
at
sorry.
Some point, please.
Well, this one
I'm still
to me
sick in the guts from the last.
This
thing
one to
about
me reeks of BS. But I don't know if you're going to share my sentiment here. This is the story about the lady that's taking on Crown Casino and Aristocrat Gaming Technologies, saying that they're to blame. She lost all her money playing pokies at Crown Casino, and there are all sorts of allegations now. Andrew Wilkie, the MP, is leading the charge and
Who hates pokies?
Yeah, Maurice Blackburn lawyers have jumped on to help. They're doing this case for nothing, I believe. Pro bono, they call it.
Mm-hmm. No win, no fee. That sort of thing.
Well, I love a gambling, you know, lawyer that's prepared to
take a punt on
whether they win or not. That's fantastic. but they're saying things like staff were told to remove betting options from pokies. They were told to regulate the machine so that people didn't win as often, and all sorts of allegations that go on and on and on. Okay. That's not the stuff that I'm bemused by. There's one allegation.
Even though that's illegal and they should be dealt with.
And it is, if they've done that, they should be dealt with. But what they're saying also, insiders have blown the whistle that used to work, they're saying that some punters had soiled themselves.
While having a bet.
In other words, shat their pants.
And Crown provided them with clean clothes.
Gave them clean clothes so they could continue gambling. Now, Roo.
Geez, I wish someone would do that to me when I do it.
Yeah, I know you've had the odd accident.
When I'm out scrabbing or...
Roo, I'm working in the casino, seriously, I don't think that's part of my job description. Can you just go and help that bloke over? Just pooped himself. Just go and help
him and give him some clean tracksuit.
I'd be saying, go and do it yourself or... Do we really desperate? Like thousands of people are in Crown Casino at one time.
Yeah.
Do we really need that person in there that's just pooped himself?
Time to go home, son.
Yeah, correct.
I reckon you've had a big day.
My point here being, and
we'll get you a taxi, eh?
This is before the courts. No, just get out. Leave the premises. I think some of these are made up, some of these allegations,
They may well be, Dits. They may well be.
Playing in the Alma Hotel in your pokey room and I wet myself or put myself, do you come and help me, do you?
I wouldn't wipe your ass.
No, I know. I think it's a bit far-fetched.
I'd get you a cab, though, Dits. I'd say, Dits.
Would you?
It's time to go home to Kate.
Yeah, but then again, does some cab driver want me in the cab after I've done that? Of course they don't.
You got to get home.
I would have thought your responsibility is just to say, can you please leave the premises?
Yeah, I can understand them giving them fresh clothes and everything, but I can't understand them wiping their bum.
I don't believe it.
Huh?
I don't believe it. Some of these allegations are a bit rich, I think.
Yeah. If you go to a venue and you can't get in because your shirts or shorts are untidy or whatever, lots of places will give them a shirt or give... Or
when?
If they want, yeah. I've never done that heaps of times at the pub.
Have you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
So some poor bloke walking past, you just drag him in, do you? He says, bro, I didn't want to go to the pub.
Not in the gaming room. Out the front. Like if they've got a singlet top on and you have no singlets.
I was on my way to church and they dragged me into this pub.
You could use that one, Dits. Keep that one up your sleeve.
You don't reckon I've used that before?
Well, as long as you haven't soiled yourself, right?
Hey, look, if anyone, I'm actually serious about this. Anyone who's worked in a casino, can help us out here, surely you don't, you're not that desperate for people to gamble in your premises that you're helping them change clothes after they've pooped themselves.
Oh, casinos are all about making dough, Dits, aren't they?
Come on. This is a bit rich, I reckon. Give us a ring, 13353.
I tell you what, if you got someone who'd worked in Las Vegas, I reckon you'd get plenty of interesting stories.
Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. Or Macau.
All right.
Things like that.
13353. Have you worked in a casino or a place like this? And can you help us out? Does this sort of thing happen or not? 13353. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
I'm just a little bit dubious about these allegations against Crown Casino, Roo, that they would keep people in there who have pooped themselves. They're so desperate for them to keep putting money in poker machines. This can't be right.
Disgraceful, isn't it? Now, we've asked for a call from people who have been involved in casinos, and we've got a person rang in that's named Happy.
Happy?
Let's get Is it Happy?
How you going, mate? You're
up. Is that your name?
That's my name, mate. I'm always happy.
Righto, fair enough. Righto, have you worked in a casino or do you know anything about this, Happy?
Yes, mate, those allegations are incorrect. I have worked in a casino. I was security and surveillance for many of years. And I have escorted an older male who required first aid and he soiled himself. And he actually tried to reroute the tiles after soiling himself. Like, it was bad. It was everywhere.
Oh, no.
God.
It was pretty bad, and we escorted this male out from the premises, and he was welcome to come back. However, at no stage whatsoever did we offer to clean him up.
No, wouldn't have thought.
Back in my day, I've carried millions of dollars worth in suitcases, and his money to us was seriously just chump change. So that's not correct.
Was that in Sydney? Like, where'd you work? Or Melbourne?
Locally.
Oh, okay. In Adelaide, good stuff. Hey, did Lobethal have a big celebration up there recently, though? Some centenary up there? Happy?
Going back a few weeks, yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah, I just heard there was something. I just thought he might know Dits, but right. he didn't know too much about that. That's okay. All right. No worries. I thought Happy would know everything about Lobethal with a name like that.
His surname's Gilmore.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
That's it.
So
I don't think it'd be right, would it?
No, I don't think so. A bit far-fetched, I reckon.
Yeah.
6:28, but if you're walking past the hour, anything could happen.
We'll drag you. We'll drag you. It'd be like a big vacuum cleaner.
Suck in the
in
door.
In you lady. Come. Spend all your dough and then spit you out in the taxi.
6:29, ruined it for breakfast.
You there, Nick Xenophon?
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really. But we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined It's Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined It's.
Well done. Batesy's back. How are you, Batesy?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, is your man off fighting, defending the country? What's he doing?
No, he's back in Edinburgh now. So he was away for a few weeks, but he's back again.
Where was he?
Pakapanyo.
Pakapanyo. That's a great name, Pakapanyo, isn't it?
Isn't there a song about it?
I was only 19. It's in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
passing out parade at Pakapanyo.
Pakapanyo.
Yeah. Alice the Wag is here, and we've got Mel the Button Pusher as well. Righto, first topic. Billy Joel has become a dad at 68 years of age, all right? This has just happened. Mel, can you be a dad at 68?
Well, clearly you can, should you?
Should you?
There's two things, because obviously his kid will be very well provided for, so that's not... Mm. A worry.
Might not have a daddy.
But that's sad, isn't it? It's really sad. When they're 21 or 30, they're not going to have a dad for most of their adult life.
Mm.
Mick Jagger, he was doing that in his 70s only last year or something, wasn't he?
He'd be 90 at the 21st, basically.
Yeah. I mean, my mum wasn't particularly old when she had me. She was about 35, and I lost her, unfortunately, when I was 21, and I feel really robbed that I haven't had her throughout my 20s and 30s, and it is a great loss to not have that in your life. Mm. So to condemn your kid to that might be a little bit selfish.
What do you think, Roo?
Isn't this the Angels? Or is
I want your opinion
on
this.
Too late.
Too late?
Yep.
No good?
Nearly irresponsible.
Oh, gee. Alice the Wag.
Too late, saggy skin, great musician, but you're too old to have kids. Like, he won't be able to play with him in the playground. And, you know, Roo had a shower with his kids the other day. Like, imagine him in the shower.
They'd be able to hold him up.
Yeah, all the saggy skin in the chair.
They'd be able to wipe his bum for him.
Oh.
They'd be able to, you know, do all that sort of stuff.
We get the message, yeah. Yeah, all right.
Thanks,
move on. Now, Batesy?
Way too old. Mm. Way too old. Just stop. Mm. Yeah. Mm. No.
Yep, no.
I didn't know they could still do it. Ben, how old's his wife?
Of course you can.
Is his wife?
Probably
20.
Your swimmers do decrease over time, so he's still a bit lucky.
Yeah, they swim slower.
Yeah. Slower and fewer, but anyway.
Are you on the no-go there, Dits, or are you happy?
So. Yeah. I do feel like Mel pointed out, I think it's sad for the child when they're older that either he's dead and not around, or he's just not capable of...
Boy, he brings you to school and says, Grandpa dropping you off.
Yeah. I know. That's not good, is it?
Righto, this is another one for you girls. Now, obviously, boob jobs have been in happening for a fair while throughout the world and in Australia, but they're saying that they're ditching the boob job a little bit around the world now and getting the bum done, getting the rump rounded.
Rounded?
Rounded, the big bum for the Kardashians and that have sort of set that
the booty,
scene, haven't they?
Bootylicious.
Right.
Not sure if I'm up for that one, Dits, myself. I'd rather the boobs get done than the bum.
Right. Okay.
There's my two bobs worth. Right. What about you, girls?
Yeah. Alice?
I definitely don't think...
Or what else?
Wouldn't have my bum done because you just need to do more squats to get that happening. But I probably would... I don't think I'd have my boobs done, but maybe after I breastfeed, I might have like a lift and just a little bit of a perk up.
Are they called bras?
Yeah, but what if you're nude?
Well, okay.
Surprise. I don't want to be able to tie a bow with them or anything. So I'd probably do it just for that, maybe a tummy tuck after I have kids, but I wouldn't do anything.
How much work's ever done?
Jesus Christ. You're going to have plastic surgeons ringing the shower here. The Angels.
Head to toe. Bloody
depends
makeover.
How much I eat when I'm pregnant, really.
Righto. Batesy?
Okay, so I personally would get my bum done, I reckon.
You would?
Because I have been trying to, like, make my bum bigger all year, and I've been doing Pilates, like, 4 or 5 times a week, and nothing's happening, to the point where I bought butt undies.
that
butt undies.
What have you bought?
What?
Butt undies?
My mum and I bought butt undies from the US where they're like a padded bra but for your butt.
Right, so what, they put a bit of a round it off?
The undies have like a layer of foam in them.
I've bought a shirt like that. It's got a gun in it.
So I wear those every now and again, and it just gives me a bit of a
perk
up. Yeah, I'll wear
them. So how am I
going to
know now? Not that I'm always looking at your backside, but is that how
real?
Will I now know whether you're fake or real?
And what happens if you picked a bloke up and you had butt undies on and you took it off and you went,
hang on,
where's your butt going?
Where'd your bum go? Yeah. Is there over there on the floor in that in those undies?
They're not attractive either. They're like nude and come halfway up my chest, but they look great on a pair of jeans.
Right.
So
gee, I'm learning all sorts of things.
Do they feel like a butt? Like if someone was to grab your butt?
No, because you can feel where the foam ends.
Oh, no.
How thick is it?
I suppose they have, don't you? Well, they used to call them chicken fillets.
You can,
it's the equivalent of the chicken fillet, which I also use.
Yeah, so you got chicken fillets and mum enhancements. What else?
My wife
was
dancing one night and hers flew out across the dance floor. No, it did.
And did the chicken dance?
Someone came and picked it up and handed it back to her. Your left boob just went across the dance floor.
Dinner's ready. That is so good.
Now, one thing about these.
Must have really been having a crack if the chicken fillets out.
We were going for it. Now, one thing about these butt undies, mm-hmm. you could swim with them as well.
You could.
Flotation.
Yeah, you probably could. There's enough padding in there.
See, multi-purpose. Oh, great butt and you float.
Yep.
There you go. Mel the button pusher.
No, I can't top any of that. I'm very comfortable in the skin I'm in, thank you.
Right,
good work.
I had a friend once that wore chicken fillets out and she took a guy home and she didn't want the guy to know that she was wearing them.
Well, you wouldn't.
So quickly went to flick them out without him knowing and flicked them and it stuck to the wall.
Oh, bulldust.
Yeah. They're sticky.
All right, thanks, Angel.
They're sticky.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
All thanks to Southern Volkswagen down at Ranella. Roo, what's the latest in the Lisa Wilkinson saga?
Well, there's a few people starting to have their own personal opinions about the situation. When it happened and she left and she got a pay rise to go to Channel 10, everyone was saying, fantastic, good on her. She's got a pay rise and she should get equal pay to Carl. Lots of people were saying that and well done and all of those sort of things. Now there's a difference of opinion with some people saying, well, hang on, now she's reportedly on 1.8 to 2 million.
Mm.
How do the people at Channel 10 feel that, you know, say Waleed Ali, who might be on 500,000, just taking a stab in the dark here, or Carrie Bickmore, who might be on similar money. Is that equal pay to Wiley, who's a gold Logie winner on that show?
Yep.
How does she feel about being on three or four times as much as Wiley?
Yeah, is there pay equality there?
So that's a bit of a different sort of opinion that's coming in now, and is that right for her to do that? These are obviously the people who trying to take a different side of the opinion.
Can I also put this to you? Who can I use as an example? You're at the Crows and Andrew McLeod, player of his calibre, let's say for round figures he's on 800,000 a year and then you get Charlie Cameron. And I don't mean to pick on anyone in particular here, but they're not going to get paid the same, are they? One's worth more to the team than the other.
Yep.
It'll always be a matter of opinion, but one's going to get paid a lot more than the other.
Yeah.
There are those that are saying Carl Stefanovic should have been getting a lot more than Lisa Wilkinson because apparently whenever they do research, he researches very, very highly. And in fact, there were stats that came out that when he took 2 weeks off, when his marriage broke up, the ratings plummeted. Like when Sam Newman was missing from the footy show, he got suspended for a while, the ratings plummeted.
Surely,
does that mean you're worth more money or not?
Surely everyone out there thinks if someone does a better job or is more important to a show or a partnership, they should get more. It shouldn't have anything to do with male or female. It should just have to do with who's more important to the show or better at it.
Yeah.
Whether it's a male, female, or anything. I would presume that's in the grants 100%.
Mm. In this industry and in sport, there are people that will be worth more money than others. There's no doubt about that.
That's why I don't get men's tennis and women's tennis, why they should be equal pay. I don't get that.
Right. For what reason?
Well, because I think more people like watching the male's tennis than the female's tennis.
Right. Okay.
That's my opinion on that.
All right.
Do you agree on that?
Yes, and ratings and crowds do suggest that, for
sure.
So
why should they get equal pay?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I've never got that, to be honest. And that's nothing against the women who play. They're professionals. They try as hard as they can, but it's not as high a rating, I wouldn't have thought.
No. So anyway, day one, a lot of people were applauding the fact that Lisa Wilkinson got this massive pay rise and went to Channel 10. Now, all of a sudden, people have had to think about it for 24 hours and they're not so sure.
Yeah, well, it's just giving everyone a chance to have a difference of opinion, hasn't it?
All right, Ruined, it's here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Maria has just tweeted in saying it's now a great morning singing along to you two on the train.
Yeah.
There you go.
Beautiful stuff. Yeah, good stuff.
Ruined, it's here on Triple M, thanks to Southern Volkswagen.
Holden shutting down this week, Dits, and it's a very sad time for manufacturing in Australia and Holden lovers, and we've seen Toyota and Ford and lots of cars being stopped made in Australia. But a politician a few years ago said that they could have saved Holdens if we were prepared to pump in a fair bit of money, and I know that we already had done that, Dits, but if we were prepared to pump in $300 million a year into the car industry, it could have saved 50,000 jobs
50,000
throughout Australia. So not just at the plants, but all the parts and everything that goes along with it.
Yep.
It's an interesting economic thing to look at, isn't it? How if you put in $300 million a year and you save 50,000 jobs, is that actually beneficial for the state, or is it a drain on the country by having to do that? I know you said
a while ago...
We're throwing bad money, good money after bad, or whatever the saying is, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. My only thought was at the time, we were told, when I made that statement to you here on this show, we were told that BHP didn't go ahead with Olympic Dam at the time because they wanted the government to tip in. And I just thought to myself, well, we know that we could be the most resourceful state in Australia, so why weren't we putting $200 million per year into that rather than $200 million per year into Holden's?
Into a profitable
sector. Where we knew that car factories here were going to close down eventually. That was probably my question.
Okay.
And well, I wasn't trying to do holding people out of a job, by the way. I'm just trying to say that you've got to be sensible and spend the money where we know it's well spent.
Yep. Well, the politician was Industry Minister Kim Carr, and he joins us now. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning.
What do you think about that? With $300 million a year in government support, would have saved 50,000 jobs. Is that right?
Oh, a lot more than that. A lot more than that. What I said at the time, and it was the position that was put to the Productivity Commission, for every dollar spent in the auto industry, $30 was created throughout the economy.
Right. Okay. So
for every dollar spent, 30. Right. Now, what we've got is a situation where every country in the world that had an auto industry was supporting that industry with co-investment.
Yep.
And by international standards, the Australian contribution was very modest. It was less than the price of a footy ticket per person. Now, that compared to hundreds of dollars, so less than $20 in Australia, hundreds of dollars in the United States or in Northern Europe. And of course, this was the real economics of the industry. We were exporting our heads off with our auto industry, even when the situation in other countries where the industry was actually retreating. In Australia, during the economic crisis, global economic crisis, under the Labor government, we were able to get new investments in the automotive industry in Australia. When General Motors was on the block in the United States, had to be nationalised, remember, we were able to secure extra investment in Australia for the crews. We were able to talk to General Motors and they were ready to go over the new contracts for two new models.
What were they?
2030. That was for the Epsilon. That's a new platform, a
What's
Big
that?
Six. Epsilon was a new platform, a new replacement Commodore,
right,
and a new cruise model. Now, we were also talking to Toyota about two new models there, and that would have meant that we, by now, if we were able to secure the future of the auto industry, we'd be talking about hydrogen cars for Toyota.
Right.
Now, we bought the hybrid to Australia produced, built in Australia when it took it out of Thailand. See, so this story about the automotive industry being
Why didn't we do it though? Let's get to the chase. Why didn't the government stump up the money if you're saying it's as good as what it is?
Because this government, the Liberal Party, was ideologically was hostile to the auto industry. Hostile.
Well, when you say hostile, that's a
hostile.
That's a strong word to use.
No, bloody oath. I'm really hostile to them because of it.
But why? Can I just ask? And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you here, but I just want to ask a question for my own knowledge here, though. But when you say that a dollar spent creates $30 out there, but should we spend money on industries to keep people in jobs, or do we spend money on industries that actually work and can fund themselves?
Well, you know, you just look at what the Productivity Commission prints every year. There's a whole lot of industries there where the public spends money.
Mm.
There is, you know, the mining industry secures public support. There are, of course, many, many industries that get government concessions.
The Adelaide Oval was built by the government,
that,
I suppose.
Just about all aspects. The transport system gets government support.
Mm.
There are many service industries that get government support. So this idea that, I mean, if you talk about agriculture, we actually spend more money on sheep and goats in this country than we were spending on motor cars.
Well, the government does.
Yeah, the government.
Doing what? Explain how that happens.
Well, because
we spend more money on
subsidies. We provide subsidies and support for agricultural industries in this country. And we don't say, oh, that's a problem. In drought, we say, look, we've got to look after these sectors because they're important for our national interest. And we say, look, in the good times, we expect them to put back into the economy, which they do. And, of course, in tough times, we expect them, we all come together to make sure we can sustain them.
But it is a fact, though, that our car industry couldn't keep up with the rest of the world price-wise. We were far too expensive here.
Not far too expensive.
Well, we were. That's why we no longer have a car industry.
No, that's not true. Every country in the world had support from their government. Every car industry. We're one of 13 in the world, one of 13 that could make a car from the point of conception, you know, the designer's head, through to the production in the showroom floor. Only one in 13 in the world that can do that. Now, we're remarkable in that sense. We were a country, of course, that has a relatively small population. Yes, we had higher production costs, but we got over those problems. The productivity rate, you know, in the 1990, we were able to, one worker was producing something like 11 cars, but in the last run of the cars, was producing one worker was producing 24 cars.
But so we're not going to get it back now, are we, Minister?
No, but we've got to get the legacy question right, because we keep repeating these myths about this was a country that couldn't do certain things. Now, in Britain, we had the same argument. And, of course, went after Margaret Thatcher. Now, the British understood what they'd lost, and then they all went together and understood what they had to do to get it back again. And now Britain is the leading exporter of automotive products in Europe.
Mm.
See, so it is a real question that needs to be addressed about what this country can do, what sort of country do we want it to be, what sort of standard of living do we want to maintain? If we all just want to make cappuccinos or, you know, live on the beach, you know, be a quarry or a resort, then we'll have one of the life. If we want to actually make things, then we've got to actually have a policy and a government that gives a bit of a lead to these things. So, you know, this is a government that's only too happy to spend billions of dollars on tax cuts for very, very wealthy people. But it's not prepared.
We're going off on a tangent now. I've got to cut you off because we've run out of time. But you've made some very, very good and interesting points.
Yep.
And he's right where he says, Roo, that we do put money into other industries. So he's absolutely right there.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. But thank you to Mr. Kim Carr for his time this morning.
Yep.
And the irony wasn't lost on me that his name's Carr and we're talking about cars. There you go. Mr. Kim Carr.
Nah, he did a good job.
Oh, he did. He did.
He made lots of good points.
Yeah. There you go. 7:48, Ruined Its on breakfast.
104.7 Triple M.
A Ruined Its here on Triple M now. We're helping Big Hato quit, Roo. And, of course, we're talking about quitting smoking.
Yes.
And the big fella's in the studio now. How are you?
G'day, lads. Surprisingly good.
Yeah?
Surprisingly good.
How long now?
nearly a month, 29 days.
29 days. Well done. How hard has it been?
Bloody hard. Although it's getting easier, but the first couple of weeks, you can see why so many people crumble and go back to the darts. And
it's just, it's a hard thing to face, you know, look at it going, well, I've got this thing that's more than just an addiction. It's like it's something to do between, you know, going from point A to point B or finishing something and starting something else.
You haven't had a dart?
No, absolutely not. But and you're craving I get tested.
One? Are you craving
Oh,
one?
Yeah.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd be all right by now, 29 days.
No.
My best mate Scratcher fell off the wagon after the Crows grand final. Seriously, that's the sort of things that make you fall off the wagon, isn't it? Stressful events or sad things or stuff that I'll ever smoke.
Yeah, spot on. And that's what happens. I mean, there's nothing wrong with falling off the wagon. You just get back on again. But the thing for me was...
Is it easy to get back on again, though? Do you need someone... How do you get back on the wagon?
Well, I mean, I know that for me, I nearly fell off the wagon, so I called Quitline. And were the first ones to say, look, falling off the wagon, it's going to happen. It's expected. Don't beat yourself up over it. How far did you get? Well, okay, if you think you're going to do it, just try again even further. Like, try and get further.
Do you miss smoking?
Yeah.
What do you miss about it other than the nicotine hit?
Just the...
social part?
Social part of it, but also it's something to do. I find myself increasingly bored when I'm driving anywhere because...
Does that mean you eat more?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, hang on, this is absolutely true. You hear people talk about, you know, putting on weight, worried about putting on weight when you quit. And it's different for everyone. Every single person's different. But if that My Quit Buddy app had a thing where you had to put on kilos that you've gained, I would probably leave that bit blank. It is. It's something that...
Are you exercising yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going for walks a lot more down to the fact that I am, like I said, bored. Like, I got to go for a walk just to fill in time. But the other morning, I will say this, after a month, you'd expect a bit of a breakthrough, walking down to the train station. And that's the biggest battle every morning is the first dart of the day.
Mm.
Down there on the platform, looking at my phone, train comes along, get a couple of stops in. And I went, hang on, I didn't have to talk myself out of wanting a smoke this morning. So that was the first breakthrough, was literally like a non-smoker, walked, done, sorted. Mm. But...
How's your wallet looking?
Well, let's just say you and I need to talk about a couple of tips coming up for the Spring Racer Carnival.
John, I'll give you a tip. Don't smoke. How much money are you serious? How many packs would you go through a week?
Four or five.
And how much is a pack?
About 20. I've just loaded
20, that's cheap, isn't it?
The My Quit Buddy. Well, no, pack of 20 for about 20 bucks. I've saved, really quickly, I've saved $341, less than a month.
Mm. That's after tax?
After tax? Yes, it is, yeah.
So you've probably saved $500 before tax.
Easy.
And in a month, times 12 is $6,000.
Yep, and 347 ciggies I haven't had.
Brilliant. Well done.
Jeez.
Keep it up, Hato.
I will, boys. Thank you very much. Nah, thank you.
Good work. Now, in fact, you've recorded a blog or something, haven't you? People can go to and check out.
Yeah, quitwithhato.com.au. And if you wanted to get on board even now, even though we're nearly a month in, get on board and tell me how you're travelling. That'd be great. Down here at Quitline HQ in Unley to meet the people that talk you through what you need to do if you think you're going to fall off the wagon or if you call Quitline and you just need a hand. I was a smoker for over 20 years and I'm nearly a month smoke free. Saying that you've been nearly a month without darts is, and it is something to be really proud of. According to the My Quit Buddy app, there's nearly 300 darts I haven't had and I've saved nearly as much in dollars, $300. There are so many different benefits to quitting that you won't see until you do. When you meet people, you don't have to sort of keep your distance.
I'm Hayden.
Money. I am not going to the servo. A week out from payday, trying to buy milk and bread.
Use a bit of shrapnel, mate.
Whoosh. The top of the list when it comes to quitting is how proud people are when you just keep going. If you're thinking about having a smoke right now, call these guys. Even if you do end up having a smoke, no one's going to belittle you. So be it, you've had it, you got it back in your system. You will not find anybody harsher on you for having a cigarette when you're trying to quit than yourself. Get back on the wagon, call the Quit Line, get your My Buddy app, because it really does make a difference. Do what you can for other people trying to quit. And that's why I've got a lot of love for the people that went to quitwithhato.com.au. Thank you so much.
Well done, Hato.
Thank you
good
very
stuff,
much,
mate.
Boys.
No, very inspirational. Well done.
Thank you
Keep
very much.
Keep up
See
the good work, big fella.
Keep it up,
Get
mate.
On it.
We're all behind you. Roo, we can announce the deal has been done.
Has it really?
Has been done. Stephen Silvani has just left AFL headquarters in Melbourne.
Right.
Paperwork's been swapped. It's been done.
Okay.
And I get the feeling you've swapped second and third round picks.
Yeah.
Future.
We'll clear it up, I
and,
reckon. Do you want to go through the do after the break? Or?
We'll do that in just a moment. Yep. But it has been done. So, Crows fans, you should be excited.
104.7 Triple M.
8.56. Righto, we can break the news right now. Roo, tell us what's happened.
Yeah, Bryce Gibbs will be playing for the Adelaide Crows next year. So it's finally happened after a long year when it didn't quite get around to coming to an agreement last year.
All right, please explain the deal.
It has officially happened.
Explain the deal, because this has been dragging on for a long time. I take it it's a bit complicated.
Yeah, well, it is a little bit complicated, and this will be long-winded to a lot of people, and I'll abbreviate it next. So basically, Carlton get this year's picks 10, 16, our future second pick, and they get pick 73, and Adelaide will get Gibbs, Carlton's future second round, Carlton's future third round, and 73. So in short terms, basically, they will get pick 10, okay? And then our second round pick next year will slide from 34 to 40. So it's really a good first round pick and a slide in picks from 34 to 40 next year.
Now, what does that mean? Sorry.
So if Adelaide would have had, if they finish in the same position on next year's ladder as, and Carlton finish in the same position, if you presume that, Adelaide's pick would have been 34. It's now at 40. So instead of getting pick 34, you get pick 40. So not a lot of difference.
Okay.
They call that a pick slide.
What about the money? It's been reported in the Advertiser, maybe 750 grand a year. Is that accurate?
No, it's not accurate at all. Nowhere near accurate. In fact, he'll be playing for less money at Adelaide than what he would have been playing for Carlton.
You're joking.
No, that is right. He's
stolen.
He'll be on a – well, not stolen. It's a fair deal. He's got a four-year deal at Adelaide. And reported in the Advertiser is – very incorrect. So, four-year deal, and he'd be very happy with that, and he'd be happy to be coming home.
Yep, for sure. I mean, we work with his sister here at Triple M, and his mum and dad are in Adelaide. He's got another sister as well. So
yeah, and he's got a wife and family that want to come home and to be near their family. Now, so, good stuff.
Did something go awry yesterday? The media was reporting that the deal was done at lunchtime yesterday. Then all of a sudden, we were reporting sort of last night there was no deal. In fact, it's only just happened this morning.
Everyone was going to sign the paperwork and thought the deal was going to be done yesterday at lunchtime, but there was a bit of a misunderstanding there.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, someone thought the deal was different to what everyone else thought it was, and so there was a bit of a misunderstanding, and that's what took all day yesterday to sort out. But they sorted it out last night, and everyone's happy now and moved on. So I think it's a good deal for both clubs. Carlton get a pick 10 and go and get a good player. Adelaide lose a first-round draft pick that they got for Jake Lever, but get a very good midfielder from Carlton who's still got plenty of time to play good footy in Adelaide, and I think he'd be a better player at Adelaide than he was at Carlton, because he's in a better side and the style of football he plays will be suited more to Adelaide than Carlton. So I think it's a good get. We need more depth in the midfield. Everyone's been saying that, and Bryce gives us exactly that. And he can play halfback as well.
Yeah, can he help fill that void that Brody Smith has left there?
If he needs to, he could play halfback like Richard Douglas does. He's going to be very similar to for Adelaide as what Richie Douglas can do. Can play in a number of positions. So a good get for Adelaide, and I would say a good trade period for both Port Adelaide and Adelaide now. I think both clubs are well positioned for a very exciting 2018.
All right, well done, Roo. It's time for us to go. So just repeating, Bryce Gibbs, the deal has been done. He will be playing at the Crows next season.
Don't miss a minute of Roo and Ditz for breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella, they're closer than you think.